is back. It's the terrorizing sequel to the film that shocked a nation by breaking all the rules. It's Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. The continuing blood-curdling saga of the story so controversial it can only be told on home video. Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. Santa's back, and he's mighty miffed at the naughty nun who drove his demented brother on a murderous rampage that made headlines across the country. Now, step by step, weapon by weapon, victim by victim, Santa's gonna finish what his brother started. So you better watch out. You better not pout. Because Santa Claus is coming to your town. And he knows who's been naughty and who's been nice. Hold on tight for the sequel that'll chill you through your very soul. Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2.
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes, welcome back, Amanda.
Welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you.
Glad to have you back. I'm glad to hear your day's going great and everything. And
yeah. Oh, it's the best day ever.
I know, right? Well, we're back recording a new episode, so yes! Of course it is. So, yeah, going back to the movies with this one. So, way, way back, like around this time last year, we released an episode 16 to be exact, on Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 1.
Which, I loved that movie. I thought it was a great movie.
It's fantastic.
It is a great movie, yeah.
It is fantastic. So now, it's 1 year later, so we're going to be talking about Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 2. However, we're just going to preface this a little bit by saying that there are a lot of flashbacks in this movie.
Like, how many minutes worth?
At least 40.
It's like, yeah.
Isn't that 40 insane? Minutes.
So
half the movie is the previous movie.
Yes. Like, pretty much the first half of the movie is just going back and forth between dialogue and then the previous movie. So basically, you're just going to hear us kind of say, refer to episode 16, if you would like to hear our thoughts on this part of the movie.
So, yeah, if you have not listened to episode 16, the first Silent Night, Deadly Night, like, stop right here.
Yeah, just hit the stop button.
Don't even listen to this until you watch that first one.
But the weird thing is, you could watch part two first and really have the entire gist of one and two.
You can. This is true.
You can.
But we just don't want to talk about it a second time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
it was good, but it wasn't that good.
It was fantastic. It's just like, that'd be like re-recording a fucking episode, more or less. So yeah, you're just gonna hear us just refer to that to hear our thoughts on this part. But yeah, so let's start this off.
Was there any reason why they did that? And it was just the fill time.
I don't know. I have no
budget.
Idea.
I mean, I never really got a definitive answer on that.
I think I saw something I think that like the director wanted to, like, that was the goal for some reason, was to cut in a bunch of footage, and he was actually like really psyched about how he did for some reason.
Yeah, because I think it's the only movie that exists that thinks that is a good idea to make your movie with. Because it's not even the same director.
He made a long short, basically. That's what it is.
So here's my thing. I thought of this like halfway through the movie. I was like, you know, if at least half of the movie is going back to the first movie with those characters, like, did they get a cut of this money for this movie? Because even though they didn't react, like, they are.
I would hope so.
I would think so. I mean, I didn't get a chance to look that up, but
I'm not sure if you get residuals in this situation. I mean, I would like to think that you did, and like, if it was me,
it was kind of like double dipping.
It is,
but like, you wouldn't have a movie if you didn't use those clips, right?
Exactly. So if I'm in the first movie, I'm saying I was in two movies.
Right? I agree.
Like, that's totally what I'm telling people. I'd be like, yeah, dude, I was in two movies. So,
well, like, think about, say, Back to the Future, how, like, at that one part they're watching the Honeymooners, like, when they roll out the TV. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if, you know, like, Jackie Gleason's estate or whatever, you know, receives a part of Back to the Future just because they featured, you know, 10 seconds of an episode.
Possibly. Yeah. Or that would just be wrapped up in the initial deal for being able to use it originally, I suppose. Like one or the other.
Yeah, maybe they just paid like a fee, like how you license a song.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you just pay the, you know, do the one-time payment, and you know,
I could see that as being more,
so
you know, feasible.
I could see it doing as both. You know, honestly, like I could see either one of those deals working. You know, somebody being like, "Hey, you don't know if this movie's going to be big," or like, "Hey, this movie's going to be a huge hit, so take a little bit less money now, and then you can just keep getting money, you know, with more residuals and stuff."
Like, just be how it just depends how they work it out. If anyone knows movie law.
Yeah, yeah.
Hit us up.
Yeah, if we have any like entertainment lawyers or something like that, but we should hit up. We should hit up Shelley from Friday the 13th Part 3.
Yeah,
he's a fucking entertainment lawyer.
Oh, that's right.
I think so is Chunk from the Goonies.
Yeah, the Goonies. All right, cool. Yeah, we'll have to hit up those guys. Oh man, but yeah. So let's. Well, yeah, you guys ready to get into this?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
All right, let's start us out. So the movie pretty much starts in a room in, I guess, a psych ward, I would assume, or like a mental institution. I don't think it's a prison.
Some kind of asylum.
I think it's an asylum, yeah. It doesn't seem like it's a prison.
Tell right off the bat, this guy's crazy.
Well, it's like, it starts out with all the credits and stuff and like the whole white room and then shows him tapping his foot and everything, like stomping just going, you know.
Just chain smoking.
Yeah. So basically, we're starting out and this guy's going to interview Ricky, who was the brother of Billy from part one. So like Ricky, who you remember, like at the very end of the movie, you know, he's like naughty, like at Mother Superior and shit.
Yes.
Like this is him now grown up. So.
And that's where, you know, so you are already led to believe that if there was a second, like, you know, watching the first movie, if there was a second movie, it would be with that kid. Like, that's how what they did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like that's what they were setting up, basically. Yes. And then they decided to do this. So, I don't know. But yeah, so basically this doctor, Dr. Henry Bloom, is coming in and he's going to interview Ricky about, you know, a bunch of things that he's done. Because apparently he's done a bunch of shit since he was a little kid in that orphanage. So,
yeah, some stuff that isn't even documented.
Apparently. Yeah, apparently. But yeah, they're just going to do like a sit down, like Jeffrey Dahmer type interview with, you know, this killer.
Yeah, it was hard for me to understand what his motive, or not motive, but like what was his end game, just to kind
Dr. of Dr. Bloom's?
Yeah. Is it just to kind of see
categorization, I guess, and then, you know,
just to like profile him.
Profile him, maybe. Yeah. You know, having all of his incidents on record, you know, if you go back and study those and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like, how to better diagnose him.
Yeah, exactly. And medicate like him. You know, the same reason that they, you know, interview any type of serial killer or something like that, you know, just to try to find out more. But yeah, I do have to say, because like you said, Cal, he's like, Ricky's just chain smoking this whole time. I'm surprised they could let him have a Zippo.
Oh, I know. You could do a lot of things with a Zippo.
Yeah.
Any lighter. Especially, yeah, like, you know, if you're motivated.
You would think it would just be matches, but I don't know. Maybe there's, because this is a special incident, I guess, they're letting him have an actual lighter.
Well, like how they gave, like, you know, Dahmer coffee and cigarettes just to get him to talk, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. But, like, I still wouldn't hand this motherfucker a Zippo, you know?
No, I imagine he was getting his smokes lit for him.
Exactly. You know? Dumb. It's like, no, I'll do that part.
Yeah.
Just in case you decide to go crazy. So, I gotta say, too, what the fuck is up with him and this orderly?
I don't even know why he was in it. Like, was he...
I have no idea.
They clearly didn't want to fork the cash to give him any lines.
I know, like... So, like, there's this black dude who's an orderly, and he's basically the one who comes in and sets up the tape for recording and everything like that. And, but, like, something happened.
They have between history. These guys. Yeah.
This guy's acting.
The way they just look at each other, you know?
Yeah. Like, he's just kind of staring him down, like Ricky dropped, like, the hard R in the N bomb on him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it wasn't the guh, it was er. So, like, he's just staring him the fuck down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like he wants to kick his ass. If he's watching him, like, you know, he's a tiger and he's in the tiger cage.
Pretty much. But, you know, kind of fun with this whole setup. This is how they recorded podcasts back in the 80s. So.
I didn't even know that podcast.
They weren't.
I was like, what the? Well,
it was like early 90s.
I'm sure there was something like it, but weren't called podcasts.
Yeah.
Probably just the, I don't know.
So this Dr. Bloom comes in and he's just kind of being a dick to everybody. Like, you would think that he would be trying to, you know, maybe playing like good cop a little bit with him.
Yeah.
You know, instead he just comes in and just starts antagonizing him, telling him about like how precious his time is and blah, 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 blah. Like,
he kicks
all this
out
shit.
The orderly.
He does.
Like,
okay. That's a bad move.
Ricky is pretty jacked. And that
Ricky's
doctor,
a fucking moose.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
yeah.
That Eric doctor Freeman's is just a little monster. Twin.
Yeah.
I would kind of want somebody there, at least standing right outside the door.
Like, I initially kind of get it, because you would think that, especially with the way they're eye-fucking each other like that, he's probably not going to give up too much if he's in the room, too. But still, like...
Yeah,
know,
that's true.
Doc's acting, like, a little bit too much of a tough nuts about this, and should be a little bit more careful.
Mm-hmm.
This is also where the eyebrows start. For some reason, the director just told Eric Freeman to just act with your eyebrows, and that's probably the worst advice I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, he's got a specific talent to use those eyebrows, but I've never seen anything like it.
He's throwing them up more than Dwayne Johnson. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what he used for his audition, and they just went with it. They're like, can you just, like, keep doing that?
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna tie some fishing line to, like... your eyebrows, and we'll just lift it up and like a puppeteer.
Like a fucking marionette. Yeah. Come on, Ricky. Every time there's an inflection, you just like, oh, God.
Yeah, like he's controlling it himself. Like he's got like strings that are pulling it up.
Fucking directors just behind. Oh, God. So, yeah. So, Ricky and the doc get off to a fantastic start. I love how he tells him, fuck off, as soon
was
as, like,
first
he says
the
first thing he says. He's like, show Ricky. How's it going? Fuck off. It's like, all right.
All right.
This is
going to go well.
How are we going to do in that? I will say, as far as a, podcast advice, Ricky is sitting way too far away from his mic. Like, they have it on the table, and his chair is all the way against the wall. I'm like,
yeah, you're right.
You're not recording any of that. Like, that's all, especially with
the acoustics in those padded rooms, man. Like, you know.
But, like, on that 1980s recorder, like, that's going to be a garbled mess. Like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, God. But then while he's sitting there, we get the little date flash where it says December 24th.
Yeah, why are they working? Christmas Eve.
Why? Well, number one, why are they working Christmas Eve? Why are they fucking with the Santa Claus killer?
Yeah.
On
right?
Christmas
yeah.
Eve.
Yeah. Like this is give him a shot of freaking. There was it. What is it? Thorazine?
Yeah,
or
Thorazine.
Something. Just
yeah,
knock him out
yeah,
for a week.
There you go. But like this so, is like
so
the same shit
the new year.
That they do in like the later Halloweens too. It's like they're always like, all right, it's October 30th. We got to transfer Michael Myers.
I know.
Dude, do that on April 4th. What the fuck are you doing? Who gives a shit? Stop fucking with him on his
day. You know
day.
He's going to go crazy.
You yeah. know he's going to go nuts.
I didn't even pay attention to that. You're absolutely right. They're just like continually like poking the bear.
Like why? I'm sorry, this Dr. Bloom deserves what the fuck he gets.
Yeah. I mean, just like they poked the bear with making Billy the Santa Claus
yeah.
in the first.
Wasn't it Mother Supreme?
Mother Supreme.
Mother Superior. Like they're making me Santa Claus and shit. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, or sitting on Santa's lap.
Oh,
like
yeah.
they're all they're doing
exactly, yeah.
is like taking these kids that have already suffered traumatic events as children and just making everything worse.
Mm-hmm. Ah, God. So after this, we get our we go with a flashback to the first movie. It basically shows us the very beginning of the movie up until the parents' murder. If you'd like to hear our thoughts on that, please refer to episode 16 of Lobotomized.
Yeah. And the only thing I'll say to that is their parents got murdered by a guy dressed as Santa Claus.
Yes, that's why
it's important. What you need to know.
Yeah, the kids lived, so. Yes. But now, Ricky, though, well, Billy was what, like 7?
Billy was like 7, and Ricky was just a baby at this time.
A tiny baby.
Yeah, keep in mind for this next part.
Yeah. Because he can't even walk or talk.
Yeah, no, he's literally in a car seat.
Yeah. He was less than, he was like 1, maybe.
Yeah. So after that, we get back into the interview, and Ricky claims that he remembers all that happened that night. I'm 100% calling bullshit, dude. You don't remember that. You were a fucking baby.
Yeah, what's the doctor's like, that was a long time ago. How do you remember that? I don't like your fucking attitude or something.
Well, no, all he said was
so hostile.
He was just like, I was there.
That's what he said. I was there. Yeah. But here's the thing.
So?
Even if you were a baby, even let's say you remembered that. As a baby, you have no idea what you're fucking seeing. You don't know what you're seeing.
I was there when my parents brought me home into the house we were living in for the first time. I don't remember that, though. I don't remember my first birthday party.
If you watch your kids get murdered or watch your parents get murdered, you can see that and just as a baby, just have no idea what that is. Like, your brain does not know what that is. Like,
yeah, true.
Yeah, for the first, like, 18 months, like, freaking, I think, like, Lucy Kay had a bit about this. Like, you could literally go up to a baby and be like, fuck you, baby, I fucking hate you. Flick it off, and, like, it'll be fine. Like, once it hits, like, 18 months, you should stop. But, like, for the first 18 months, you could totally do and all that. I don't know. But, so after that, flashback to the first movie again. It's basically them showing up to the orphanage. And, I mean, you do get voiceovers a little bit from Ricky while this is happening, but it's really nothing too pertinent. He basically just says, like, yeah, we hate the orphanage. And then it goes all the way up to Billy being flogged by Mother Superior for being bad. Once again, if you'd like to hear our thoughts on this, please refer to episode 16 of Lobotomized.
It's just crazy how much of this movie is, like, refer back to the first movie.
It's so fucking lazy.
There's so, like, this movie would be, like, 20 minutes long if it didn't have the whole part one.
I feel like their budget all of a sudden got cut in half.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, shit.
You wouldn't need all the flashbacks if you just had a more well-thought-up original story. I don't know.
Yeah.
This would never, can you think of a movie like, nowadays?
Oh no, they would never do that.
And they would try to do this, like, people would go up in arms.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any movie to exist that does this besides this movie. None that I know of.
Nothing I can really think of too. Like, I mean, yeah, you guys took a big swing, I'll give you that, but it just comes off as lazy. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, but it just does.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I was thinking of, I think I read this, though, and I wonder if the reasoning, because the movie got pulled from theaters because all the protests so quickly.
Like the first one is what you're talking about?
Okay. The first one. That maybe that when they thought it was a good idea to do it because maybe a lot of people didn't see it.
I mean, that's a good thought. And this was, when was this movie? This
came out in like 87, though, and the first one came out in 84. Like, I feel like...
But still, like, that's not the time. I feel like
that one would have hit the video stores by that point. So if you really wanted to see it, you could just go rent it from the fucking video store and then go see the next one. You know what I mean?
But, you know, I mean, it's not just readily available. I mean, if you go to the video
store. Not like now, but like you did have the video stores and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't really see. I feel like people would have a way to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Watch the first one.
Also, who goes to see part two when you've never seen part one?
Right, yeah.
That doesn't make any damn sense.
You know, like, I wouldn't do that. be like, I got to see the first one first.
Well, exactly. I would like to know what is going on with, you know, the medium I'm about to spend my time and money on. So,
which is why I wanted to watch Spinal Tap like last Friday.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to watch the new one. And now, I mean, I still haven't watched it yet, but shout out to Rob Reiner because what a horrible thing that happened.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous, man. I mean, well, I'm sure we'll find out more as it, you know, progresses, but Jesus Christ. So, all right, so we go back to the interview and, you know, Ricky's just acting weird like he does. And him and the doc start talking about, they get into nightmares a little bit. And this is where Ricky claims that he doesn't sleep.
Yeah, okay.
More bullshit from Ricky. So, but then we go back to the first movie again and just go over some of Brother Billy's nightmares that plagued him for a while. Once again, refer to episode 16. And then we go back to the interview, and for some reason, like, Ricky's chilling like he's a baseball catcher, like, over in the corner. I don't know why. But at this point, the first part of the tape, you know, they recorded everything, and they needed to change tapes. So, you know, Doc ends up doing that, and they're talking about, you know, when Billy left the orphanage, and Ricky makes this really adamant statement that Billy didn't leave him.
Right.
Like,
were people saying that he left him?
Well, he basically said, like, that it was the doc saying, you know, more or less, you know, you were acting out because Billy left, you know, Billy left you, that kind of thing, you know, whatever. And he's like, he didn't leave me. Like, he aged out.
Yeah, he turned 18.
He turned 18.
So
yeah,
they're going to kick him out.
Yeah, you can't be
you're
an
not
orphan.
Not our problem anymore.
Yeah, you can't be an orphan anymore when you're 18. So those are the rules.
But Mother Superior was so nice to hook him up with that job to be the Toy Store Santa Claus.
Yeah, she's real fucking great.
You did that on purpose.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Oh, God. But yeah, so speaking of that, yeah, we go back to the first movie and it's Billy in the Santa suit to killing everybody in the store. We get to see Mr. Sims again, which is kind of cool.
Like, yeah,
I love
that.
Mr. Sims.
I enjoyed that part.
So, but once again,
I mean, not watching him die, but
yeah,
Mr. Sims is great.
But Mr. Sims is awesome. But to hear about that, refer to episode 16. So now we go back to the interview again, and obviously Ricky's got some hatred for Mother Superior.
Dude, I don't blame him.
I don't blame him one bit.
I do not blame him. She is the worst.
I fucking hate her too. So
honestly, I totally blame her for how Billy turned out. I do. I mean, I do. Because they could have been like, you know, they knew his history of the, you know, the trauma that both kids came in with, you know, their parents got killed by a guy dressed in Santa Claus. Like, you knew that. And yet you continually just, you know, force this kid to see, like, his deepest, deep-seated fears. Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah. And even to use the word naughty, like naughty and nice.
Yeah.
Like,
and,
use the word naughty over and over. Like, that definitely got in their heads, both their heads.
Yeah, she seems like she doesn't really know how to fix things like that.
No, her answer is just beating kids and, like, torturing them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I imagine if she came across a junkie, she would try to help him by handing him a needle. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's essentially what she's doing with these kids. It's like, oh, you don't like Santa Claus? I'm going to shove Santa Claus in your face and make you sit on his lap.
Yeah, you want to smoke cigarettes? Here, smoke this whole cart.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now. It's like that. She, Mother Superior is like a 50s dad.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, she's the fucking worst. She sucks. So after that, we go back to the first movie. Hey, fucking Linnea Quigley again. Nice. And then we go from that scene to Sister Margaret basically figuring everything out with the cop. Once again, refer to episode 16.
I think people get it by now.
I know, but it's fun. But it's funny to me to keep saying it.
Refer to episode 16.
I'm going to keep saying it. So, so we get back to the interview, and you know, Ricky at this point is starting to threaten the doc, and he's still kind of acting a little bit too big for his britches, I think, personally. It might be time to call in, you know, whoever the hell that guy is.
He's not scared, but yeah, he should be. This dude's insane, if you haven't realized already.
Especially what happens next, because, like, it kind of when we get back to the interview again, after going back to the first movie, as we're about to do in a minute here, you guys notice the pattern? Like, you guys seen the pattern with this? So, but, like, he gets himself in even more danger with Ricky, but we'll get to that in a second. So we'll go back to the first movie again, and this is when we have Christmas at the orphanage all the way up to the end of the movie. I will say, though, it was great seeing that awesome scene again where Ricky is standing there trying to, like, you know, hug Santa, and he gets smoked by that fucking cop.
Oh my God.
In front of all the kids.
Like, I actually forgot about that scene. So that was one scene that I was like, ooh, I'm glad this was in here. I'm glad they showed the scenes that I'm glad they showed were the ones where Ricky directly was in it.
That kid who was walking up to Santa, you know, right before he got blown away, like that's Ricky. That's supposed to be Ricky.
Yep. Yeah, they should have, like, kept it to that. It's because it's pertinent to the story. You know, it's why Ricky's messed up, too.
It is, but I have a very important question at this point.
Sure.
Who the fuck was the kid at the end of the flashback? Because they had a different kid that they zoomed in on in this movie to say naughty, like he was Ricky. It was a completely different fucking kid.
Either they made a mistake.
Somebody fucked up.
Yeah. Or they were trying to just set up a third one.
I guess. But
where they could show everything from the first and second. And then.
Oh my God. But no, dude, this is just some other random kid. And he's doing exactly what Ricky did in the first movie. It's like, guys, you have the footage. Like, the footage is there. Just insert the footage like you've been doing the whole fucking time. But instead, they filmed some different kid saying naughty like he was supposed to be Ricky.
That's so weird. I didn't even notice that.
That
part was not in the movie, first one?
Not in the original one, where they showed the close-up on the kid, and he was like, naughty. Like, when he said it, like, at the end of the flashback.
That's probably why, if they didn't have any footage. Maybe they couldn't get that kid back or something.
No, well, they were just like taking it. Just take it from the fucking footage that you have from the first movie.
So the first movie did do that.
Yes. Okay, and it was actually Ricky. The same kid who walked up to Santa. Like, it was actually Ricky. But for this movie, at the end of the flashback, they showed a different kid. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't even notice. They show young Ricky so little that, you know.
So fucking confused.
Now I want to go back to the first one and just watch that specific scene.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, when we get off mic, I could show you really quick.
Yeah.
Because they do show Ricky, but I don't know. It's so fucking confusing why they got this other kid to do that. I don't understand, but whatever. Okay, so we go back to the interview. Ricky's fascinated by tapes for some reason. And he's just like, picks it up. He's like,
this is me.
This is me. I mean, kind of, I guess. You fucking weirdo.
They talked about your brother the whole time.
Yeah.
If that's what we're supposed to think the flashbacks are.
I mean, technically, yeah. At this point in the movie, this is way more Billy than Ricky. So.
And the funny thing is that I was thinking about this. So, I mean, technically, the whole time that part one was happening, I mean, Ricky was at the orphanage. That's where he was. So for him to have the flashbacks of the details of all the murders that Billy did.
Yeah, the toy store and everything.
It's like, dude.
You weren't there, man.
You weren't know any of that. You weren't there. But, I mean, you can know it from, like, hearsay and
you're right. Doesn't make any fucking sense. It's amazing.
I mean, because, really, nobody lived at the, so it's like there were no survivors in the store. It's not like they could tell you what happened. Ricky
was the only one who made it out, yeah.
So Billy was the only, Billy murdered everybody. So Billy's the only one who knows the details in his brain.
Yeah, he didn't have a chance to get psychologically analyzed.
There was like a cut scene where, like, as soon as he walks in the Santa outfit, he just pulls Ricky over and tells him everything he did really quick.
Hey, Ricky, check this out.
And then tells him about their, you remember our parents? No, you don't, because you're a fucking baby. Here's what happened. But yeah, so we go back to a little, you know, of, we're still doing flashbacks. We're going to continue to do flashbacks, but at least this is something new.
Yeah, so this is even a flashback, too.
We're like finally done with the first movie. So now we're getting into new stuff. So we go back to little kid Ricky, and he ended up getting adopted, and they placed him with the Rosenbergs. This is fucking brilliant.
I was thinking the same thing,
actually. Take a kid who's traumatized by Christmas and Santa Claus and all that stuff and put him with a Jewish family.
Yeah.
He won't have to worry about Santa Claus, Christmas, or any of that shit.
And all that, you know.
Were they a Jewish family?
Yes, the fucking Rosenbergs.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they had
it. Like, I mean, come on. Rosenbergs, that name's super Jewish.
Safe assumption.
Yes, okay. I mean, like,
I thought I missed, okay, other than the name, like, I thought I missed something in the movie.
I mean, there's like a 1% chance I'm being racist. All right, let me just say that. There's like a 1% chance with this fucking name, all right? But yeah, so, you know, him and, you know, Mommy Rosenberg and stuff like that are hanging out, and they basically end up, you know, she runs into a friend of hers, and Ricky sees two nuns walking down the street, and it just fucking triggers something in him, I guess, and he ends up freaking the fuck out
because he sees these nuns. He's been beaten.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
Dude, but I totally get it, but, and I hate that. So he was like, yeah, for the most part, I had a pretty good, you know, upbringing in the, you know, after I got adopted, but it just pissed me off that the mom kind of gaslit him at first. Like, you don't see anything. He's like, dude, it's not like the kid's 2 years old. Like, he's old enough. He could be like, no, there was clearly something there. Don't think that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, and did she finally saw the nun.
She did. She finally saw him, but then, like, saw, like, the freak out. But what's hilarious about this, though, is, like, So they straight up returned him, right?
Or they were going to. Like, they thought about
like,
it.
Like, can you do that?
Like, not if you adopt. I thought maybe like in foster care or something.
Okay. But
like, I don't know. But like, yeah, I was know. Like, I cannot. And the fact that Ricky is sitting right outside the door listening to this conversation, I was like, they're not actually.
They're just like, fuck this kid. Take him back.
To like give him back, right? Because this is insanity. And the fact that, like,
they were trying to return him like he was a TV. It was fucking hilarious.
This one's defective.
This one's broken. Like, I'm sorry.
Like, and the thing that is so, like, crazy to me is the fact that they know his history. Why do you think this is, like, didn't they know his history?
You would think. It's like,
unless
you
know, hid it from them, but like,
you picked the broken one.
It sounds like they knew what they were doing. That like, the nunnery knew what they were doing.
Oh yeah, it's like, we'll give.
But nobody has like empathy for this kid.
You think there was just a little something with them, like because they're Catholic and they're Jewish, they're like, fuck the Jews. Like, you think they're like trying to pull some shit? Like, let's give the it's like, oh,
I would like to think that they had the kid's best interests in mind, but judging by how they treat these children, I don't know.
I mean, probably not. But like, are they doing this as a rib to try to just like stick it to the Jews a little bit by giving them the fucked up kid?
It might be. I don't know.
Well, I didn't know they were Jewish, so I didn't see that. But nobody has fucking empathy for these kids.
No.
Everybody who comes into contact with either Billy or Ricky, like, wants them to fail. Like, everybody who comes into contact with them. Like, I don't know. It's crazy to me. Like, if you come from a fucked up childhood, you have to know that there's probably going to be some issues that you're going to have to hash out. Like, I don't know. That's crazy to me.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so after that, we actually flash forward 5 years, and we've got another actor playing Ricky. And I've got to say, middle Ricky looks nothing like older Ricky and younger Ricky.
No.
Like, this dude that they got looks nothing like the other Rickies.
In fact, I've read that middle Ricky was like 24 or something. He was actually older.
He's actually than older than the Eric older Freeman.
Ricky.
Yeah, oh my god, that's hilarious.
Because Eric Freeman was like 21 or 22.
Yeah, I think he was like only like 21, 22. That's amazing.
Okay, I just find this is so crazy. Okay, so we've done like so many flashbacks of like him as a child.
We're still doing
it. And now we're flashing, we're going forward, we're fast forwarding, but we're still
in the past.
In the past 5 years.
Yeah.
We're going through his whole fucking life.
We're taking a really long time to get where we're going. We're taking the scenic route through Ricky's life.
A long time to get to actual events in present day.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just kind of like walking through the woods and he comes upon, not even the woods, it's like fields and bushes. It's, I don't know, it's a weird it's spot. Like
California foothills.
Like that. So he ends up coming upon this couple who's having a picnic. The guy ends up getting a little bit rapey with the chick.
Yeah, it seems like it comes out of nowhere because it seems
it kind of does.
Like they're, it seems like they're happy, like, you know, like dating.
Like whatever. She's into him.
She likes him. Yeah. She likes him, but then all of a sudden he's trying to like have sex with her in like the middle of a field on a blanket, and she's like, I don't want to do this. And he starts hitting her and ripping her shirt off.
Yeah, it's like it turns bad like really quickly. Yeah. But thankfully, I mean, he just kind of ends up giving up because she fights back and he goes off to, oh, I'm going to get a beer. Like basically is what he says.
But I'll be back.
Yeah. Get that pussy ready. So
asshole.
Like, yeah. Dude, he's a piece of shit. But yeah, so he ends up going to get a beer and Ricky had jumped into his Jeep and proceeds to run him over. Again and again and again. He's literally throwing it in reverse, going back, putting it in drive, going over him again, putting it in reverse. He does it like 6 times. It's amazing.
And I think the reason why he got so like mad about this was because Ricky had a flashback because his mom was like starting to be sexually assaulted at the scene like before she got killed by Santa.
Before
she got killed by Santa, she was sexually assaulted by Santa.
By Santa, yeah. Santa's a bad boy.
So when he sees somebody,
he's naughty.
Yes, that's definitely naughty. So. that's amazing. I do have to say though, this rapey guy looks like skinny John Madden. I don't know if you guys noticed that at all.
I didn't, but now I'm going to have to look back.
Now that you say that, I could see it.
He kind of looks like a skinny John Madden.
There's
going to be a lot of comparative jokes coming up because I was pretty like, when I was watching this and like typing stuff, so like just buckle up.
I'm buckled.
Yeah. Well, good. So was Ricky as he drove the Jeep over and over him again. Oh God. But this chick actually says thank you.
Yes, which I found surprising too.
I appreciate a woman with some common sense in a horror movie. So
like,
and he's just like, oh yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Like, no problem.
Yeah.
She just like, walks off into the hills, you know?
Yeah. And then she like I don't
and
know.
That was the end of that.
And that's the end.
That was the end of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, you know, vigilante Ricky here, like.
No problem.
Yep.
You just part ways and walk opposite directions.
Yeah, there you go. So we go back
to. And they end up dating. And
yeah, I know, right?
Right.
I mean, maybe they ended up doing something. I don't know. But yeah, so we get back to the interview. I have to ask, how did Ricky sneak up on him?
Yeah.
How did that happen? All of a sudden, because he's...
Is that where this is already?
This is, yeah, that's where we're at that point. Where Ricky somehow sneaks up on him when he's back against the wall and looking straight at him the whole time that they're talking.
Well, that piece of paper he had in front of him looked like it does say like red car on it, because the car that he got in and murdered that guy with was red. But it also seems to be like just filled with just squiggles, like he's just doodling the whole time.
I noticed it. I was like, why is red car just like so?
It's like predominant in the middle. Yeah. And then it's just like all this shit surrounding it. And so was he even paying attention?
I don't think Dr. Bloom is very good at his job. Like,
I'm being completely honest here.
I think that's how he snuck up on him, if you want to like get into it, I guess. Yes.
But yes, so, you know, red car,
you know, whatever.
He probably just did the thing where he was, you know, he was, Ricky was walking around that little, whatever, that confined space room, and he probably just did a little loop, a couple loops, and then after a few times, Doc didn't look at him, and he's circling him like a shark, probably.
He got confused,
I guess, because he's a shitty doctor.
I don't know.
Is this where he's starting to kind of like, is that where he says like, whoa, like that wasn't in like your file?
No, that's coming up.
Okay.
That's coming up now. Yeah. All right. So we go back to another flashback, and we're finally using regular Ricky in the flashbacks now. So that's, we're at that point. So we're caught. We're up to that point. So apparently he's working at a restaurant.
Oh my gosh. Wait a second. Sorry. I'm going to sound stupid in this podcast.
Okay.
I was ahead of myself. Because when you said, how did Ricky sneak up on him? I thought we were at a different spot.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay. No. I just meant Dr. Bloom. Because Dr. Bloom is literally sitting at the table, and then all of a sudden, Ricky just comes in. He's like, meh. Like,
yeah,
it's like, no, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
I was talking about Dr. Bloom, but
okay.
Later. Oh, later. Okay.
Yeah. Spoilers. I'm like, we're in that spot already?
Spoilers. I mean, we're fucking close. But yeah, so we go to another flashback with Ricky. And like I said, we're using regular Ricky now. And or up to that point, he's working at a restaurant. Looks like he's just kind of a busser. You know, so he's outside taking out the trash, and he ends up intervening with a guy who's getting his ass kicked by a fucking loan shark.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's just beating his ass in the alley, you know, and basically telling him how much he enjoys kicking his ass. He's dressed up like Inspector Gadget for some reason, though. Like, yeah, I don't understand why. Like, who dressed this motherfucker? I expected him to just, like, pull a helicopter out of his head and fly away after he got done kicking the shit out of this guy.
Yeah, it is. It's weird. Because he's, like, altruistic and, like, trying to help people.
Well, this
apparently, but also, like, I mean, like a good guy, almost, but he's not good.
I mean,
his motives are all
his
over
motives
the place.
Are out of fucking whack. But I mean, this is the thing, because he has this reaction to the color red, because all of a sudden the dude pulls out a red handkerchief, and basically when Ricky sees red, he turns into a cartoon bull.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't pay attention to the color.
Yeah. And yeah.
They kind of give you that clue when the doctor says like red car, and then if you notice like each kill, yeah, there's red somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. But yeah, so Ricky just ends up smoking this dude who was kicking the shit out of the other guy.
It's funny because, like, yeah, Ricky is so, like, confident, which, I mean, he's way bigger than that old mobster guy.
Oh, yeah.
But he's trying to be a hard ass. It's like, dude.
It's like, dude, he's about to fuck you up. And yeah. He does. He kills him like he's the fucking Penguin, dude.
Honestly, it's a great kill.
It is. Fantastic. When he opens the umbrella after he shoves it through him, that is the best. I fucking love that so much.
I love how, like, fast, like, it's just, like, quick and, like, one solid motion.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
But I mean, let's look at the body of work here at this point. He's killed a potential rapist. He's killed a loan shark mob guy. He's doing some good stuff, dude. He's kind of like the Punisher.
Yeah. He's like taking crime into his own hands.
Yeah, dude. It's not bad. So if we go back to the interview, and this is where we find out that, surprise, surprise, Doc's terrible at his job. Yeah. Because he's just looking through all his notes. He's like, I don't have any account of the rapes, the vigilante justice stuff, and just going all this. It's like, yeah, maybe you just suck at your job.
Or he's never told anyone. I mean, because there's...
Perhaps.
I got, is that I thought maybe just like, oh, by the way, is this like a BOGO? Like, I'm going to tell you about this. You get a free kill that no one knows about.
Yeah. But it's just like his reaction is just so... It doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's like, are you really that shocked that the guy who's in here for killing a bunch of people killed other people? Like, where's the surprise? Let me guess. Wait till I tell you about water being wet. Okay? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Isn't this where he's, like, sweating profusely?
He is.
And he's like,
oh, yeah.
He's like
beating of sweat.
Yeah, and he takes his handkerchief and he, like, wipes his face.
Which has a red part.
Yeah, he realizes there's, like, a red bee, like, sewn into it.
Ricky can sense the red.
And he's like, oh, shit, I gotta put this away before Ricky sees this. He's over on the other side of the
room. I didn't really pay attention to that.
He's over all the way on the other side of the room, and you see his fucking eyebrows going and shit. He's like, I sense the fucking red. Like,
it's like sharks smelling blood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's ready to fucking go nuts. Oh, man. But at this point, too, even with all this, like, Ricky's continuing to fucking go and tell him stuff, and the doc's like, oh, he almost tries to bail. It's like, dude, you're getting shit from him. Why are you trying to leave? Like, isn't this what you wanted?
Yeah.
You wanted the full story. You're getting it. Why are you trying to cut it short, you idiot?
Yeah, he's getting scared.
I don't know, man.
Then he's going to go ahead and probably bring up the worst thing that he possibly could.
Oh, of course. Because, like, he is acting all nervous, but then, like, he just switches it and is like, I'm going to be a fucking hard ass again. And he does that by bringing up Jennifer, which immediately shuts Ricky down. As soon as her name is mentioned, he tells him to fucking eat shit and just shuts down. Once again, Dr. Bloom, not good at his job. You had him talking.
Yeah.
You had him talking. Just keep him going. Keep him going. Why are you trying to piss him off and just... I don't know. Dr. Bloom's fucking terrible. And then I love it, too, because, he just basically takes Elizabeth Catan's headshot, who plays Jennifer. And like I said, it's just straight up it's like what she would sign at a fucking convention.
Yeah.
And he just throws it on the table. He's like, what do you have here?
It's probably the headshot that she submitted to, like, be cast in this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Literally what it looked like. Oh, man. So we meet Jennifer. So we go to this next flashback. Ricky's dressed up like he's about to go to a fucking Happy Days convention. So the full blown Fonzie on. He's got his motorcycle. He's got the jacket, the white shirt. Like, looks like fucking Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
But we meet Jennifer, who almost kills him with her car.
I love how they meet. I love that. Like, well, she almost kills him. She's
cute.
Well,
this is how Thor and Jane met in the fucking MCU. This is literally the same way that they fucking met in the first Thor movie. She just hits him with her fucking car. But yeah, Jennifer, fun fact, she was actually Robin from Friday Part 7. So we'll get to that one eventually.
Get there eventually.
But I think that might be it for her. I think it was just this and maybe some other little bit parts.
That surprised me. She was a cutie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, yeah. I always thought so too. She's actually she's a redhead in Friday Part 7. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But yeah. So, and I love too, like, cause they totally give her like a pan up shot.
I know.
And this fucking saxophone is just going like this Kenny G shit. It's like, look how fucking hot she is. What a whale! like it's so fucking great. I love it. So they go for a ride on Ricky's motorcycle.
You could tell, like, when he's staring up at her, he's like, could kill this person. That she's oh, it's a hot chick.
It's like, I'm gonna fuck. Like, 100% is like, okay, you're allowed to almost murder me because you're hot. So, right. But yeah, Ricky has some more ridiculous line reading over these fucking scenes. And then we get to quite possibly the unsexiest sex scene I've ever seen in my life. I don't know about you guys.
I don't know. Yeah, it's so far it's a toss up between that and the stepfather, but yeah.
It was just awkward. I don't know. It made me uncomfortable. I think the stepfather is worse, but the stepfather's supposed to be worse.
Yeah.
This is just like, oh yeah, you like this, don't you? And it's like, yeah, this is hot, and like it's kind of awkward.
You didn't think, what was that one? I don't even remember. I like blanked it out of my brain. What was that one movie we just watched with a mistake?
Oh God.
Oh, Home Sweet Home.
Home Sweet Home.
I totally forgot the movie name too.
You didn't think all of their like making out and sex thing, you didn't think that was awful?
I did.
I thought that was more awful than
I'll give you that. That's probably worse. That is probably worse.
Point. Yeah.
That is a very good point.
Probably tries to like take that away from my brain so I could.
I literally blanked that out. I can never remember that. Yeah. That was worse.
Yeah.
I can't even remember it, to be honest with you. So it must have been really bad.
Yeah. PTSD.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So
it wasn't.
I mean, I know the movie, but I can't even remember a sex scene in that movie.
Yeah, well, there was almost a menage a trois with mistake, so. Previous episode, Home Sweet Home.
Watch it if you
hate yourself.
If you're like a Haley Steinfeld super fan, then maybe watch it for her uncle. Like, I don't know. But outside of that, probably not. All right. So they, you know, Ricky and Jennifer bang. Apparently, he thought that she was a virgin. For some reason, I don't know why.
Yeah, why? Did you ask her?
I don't remember her saying it.
She was, yeah.
So, after that, we get to them on a date at the movies. Holy shit, this fucking guy in the back.
Yeah, oh my God.
I want to fucking murder this dude. Like, 100%.
Dude, even the guy he's there with, his buddy, is like, putting his head down, trying to cover his face. He's like, God damn it, Chuck. You could tell this is not the first time.
I think he was just reacting to the movie that was being made because I think that was the director.
So, are you serious?
Yeah, I think that was the director, actually.
One was the director?
One who was sitting next to the loud guy.
The guy with the mustache?
Yeah, the guy with the mustache.
Oh my God, hilarious.
I think that was the director. I think I saw somewhere that that's who it was. So his whole head in his hands, like shaking his head, might not have been acting. So... But yeah, so...
Guy's so annoying, though.
So, yeah, he's just annoying the shit out of everybody. He just won't shut the fuck up.
Have you ever been to a movie with somebody that would do that? I never have.
People have done stuff like that for, like, a second, but not how long this motherfucker keeps going.
I feel like they would be kicked out.
Yeah, exactly.
But, no, thank God. I haven't...
Yeah.
I might even just leave.
But, yeah, so... Ricky ends up kind of like staring this dude down a little bit. They kind of get into, you know, like a little thing. Like he's just staring at him, and the dude's like, "What you do? What?" Like basically, like trying to start shit with him for some reason.
I don't know.
So many people try to start shit with Ricky, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, these skinny little dudes. Like, don't you see he's huge?
Yeah, like he's gonna break you in half. Like I don't get it. But yeah, so. He ends up, you know, kind of turning back and like him and Jennifer kind of like get cozying up. And the dude's like doing like the smooch thing at him. And he stops from kissing her. And then all of a sudden, this guy just out of fucking left field just throws out a hard faggot.
Yeah.
Like out of nowhere. Like I totally forgot that happened. And like I said it kind of quietly. Like this dude. Put some fucking stank on it.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, gave him like one of those. Like, whoa. Like, whoa.
He's trying to get his ass kicked.
He's trying to get fucking murdered. But. Okay. So, to the movie that they're seeing, this is another thing that's just fucking confused the shit out of me.
I cannot even fucking believe this.
They are literally watching the first movie. And we're seeing the same flashbacks that we just saw over again.
It's so weird. It is like Yeah, it just makes your head spin.
His reaction is hilarious because they're literally like, and I mean, this is during the summer too. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh my God, it is the summer.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because they sit down and he's like, what's this movie about again? He's like, oh, it's great. It's about a guy dressed as Santa Claus killing people. He's like, what? Like, it's July 28th. I thought I was safe for another couple months. What the fuck?
Yeah, they wouldn't put a movie out like that.
I don't know. Somebody's been fucking with the time stone. There's some multiverse shit going on here.
Unless
I don't
he
know
moved to like
what is going on.
Miami, but it didn't look like it.
It didn't look like it at all. True.
It wasn't by palm trees or anything. Or...
No.
Actually, there was palm trees in the scene later. Now, it had me.
Oh, really?
I wasn't thinking about where he lived, but I did notice him in his like little neighborhood walk around that we'll get to later.
All right, okay.
They're among trees. They're among like normal trees. There's just like really high palms. Way
maybe. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Possibly, but still. So maybe he did. Still, it still looks like it's fucking summer as fuck. Well, you know,
Christmas.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same point, like, you know, like, Southern California people, too. Like, if it hits, like, 60 degrees, they're like, oh, my God, I'm freezing. You know, like, that kind of shit.
He's so, wearing a sweater, isn't he?
Yeah, he kind of is,
maybe
I suppose.
Maybe I don't know.
I might be digging for stuff that ain't there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's literally the first movie. It is hilarious, though, because Ricky watches this for about 3 seconds and then immediately turns into the fucking, like, just stands up like the fucking Manchurian candidate, just as naughty and goes after that guy. It's fucking amazing. Just, like, he just gets that look in his eye and just, like, it's
time to kill.
It's fantastic. So after that, Jennifer's ex, Chip, shows up.
Okay, what the fuck is that all about? He just, like, kind of just, like, comes out
Out of nowhere. Like a Muppet or something.
Yeah, he comes out of nowhere.
He wasn't even sitting in the chair. He just kind of emerges from behind her.
Yeah, like he crawled down the aisle.
Well, he's like, he's like with some other, like,
he's on a date.
He's on a fucking date.
And he's over here telling, like, he basically comes over. He's like, oh, like, we should fucking bang again, blah, blah, blah. Well, like, he doesn't, like, say that. But, like, basically trying to be like, hey, we should get back together, blah, blah, blah. And then you find out that she banged him in the back of his car, you know, basically. So.
But like, here's what kind of pisses me off about Jennifer. It's like, dude, you're telling him to go away, but then you're like, but you're not really doing anything about it. It's like, dude, get the fuck away from her. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like she's trying hard enough to, like.
Yeah, I think she could. It's almost like she's sort of.
It's almost like she sort of liked the fact that.
Like a hard to get thing.
Like, not really, but kind of.
I think Jennifer likes the attention.
That's what it seemed like.
A little bit.
That's what it seemed like. Especially, she's supposed to be on a date with another guy. He's on a date with another guy. I mean,
Well, Ricky's on a date with the asshole in the back, so she's kind of available at the time. Oh, and Chip, if you're wondering, perchance, what Chip looks like if Billy Idol fucked Mick Jagger.
That is like the perfect way to describe him.
That's exactly what he looks like.
I would say so.
He had such a distinct like look that I really was like, I really was trying to figure out who he looked like or if I've seen him before. That's what I was looking for.
It's almost got like the Grinch smile.
Yeah, a little bit. And I like I do have to say, like,
dude.
as far as Jennifer, I love her list of complaints about Chip. Like, one, you know, he cheated on her. You know, like, that completely valid. Like, dick move. You know, don't do that. But number two, he ruined her sweater.
That bitch or that asshole.
Did he freaking spunk on it? Like, when you guys were banging in his car? Like, is that what happened?
Kind of what I thought.
That's kind of what I feel like, too. It, like, pulled out and, like, got on her sweater, like, or something like that. Like, I don't know. But I just love how she made a point.
Or he tried to take it off of her and, like, tore it or something.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Rip, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't understand, you know, like, buttons and things like that. So, I don't know. But I just love that she made a point to mention that. So we do look in the back of the theater, and there's basically like a cartoonish fucking beatdown going on. Like there's like popcorn flying up in the air. It looks like a fucking cartoon.
It does.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen Bugs Bunny and Daffy do this in a, you know, an episode of fucking Looney Tunes.
Yeah, because he must have just kicked out the mustache guy, his buddy, and because he. The asshole looks over. He's like, hey, "Oh yeah, that's so funny."
They do like the three times. Like he looks over, it's the normal guy, and then he looks away, and then you know it's his buddy, and then he does it one more time, and then it's Ricky.
Yeah,
and he just like grabs.
It is like a cartoon.
You get that like yipe, you know, like almost from the guy, and he just starts, you know,
Wilhelm scream, and then the popcorn goes flying.
Yeah, like, it's a fucking cartoon. It's 100% a cartoon. Oh man. So a little bit later on, Jennifer and Ricky are just kind of going for a walk and they end up running into Chip. Jennifer's dressed up like she's coming from a funeral for some reason. Did you see what the fuck she was wearing? Like it's like all black and shit like that. I mean, I guess
I don't recall.
I guess she's about to be at one.
I know, I was gonna like, say the irony, yeah. Maybe.
But like yeah, she looked like she just came from her grandma's funeral. I don't know. But I mean, same thing as before. All of a sudden, you know, Chip just starts antagonizing the fuck out of Ricky. And I gotta say too, because like he ends up grabbing Jennifer at one point. Like as soon as he puts his fucking hands on her, like that's it. Like, well, I don't know.
100%.
I don't know what took Ricky so fucking long, but like honestly, like if we ran into somebody, like me and Julie were out and ran into somebody that she used to date, and that because like it wasn't like a playful grab, like it was like a you're not going anywhere type of fucking grab.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as that happens, you're fucking done, dude. Like that's it. That's license to swing at that point. But that's kind of ends up happening because, you know, Chip's just kind of going at it. You know, Rick, he's just like screaming at him, like for some reason. He's like, yeah, and I fucked her in the back of this car. Like, he's doing like that shit, which is kind of rough from like the new, you know, boyfriend's perspective, you know, like that's pretty rough. Like, I completely understand, like, Ricky beating the shit out of this guy.
Right. And where do these guys get the balls to fucking talk to Ricky like that? Honestly, like, I'm not fucking with a dude that big.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. But unfortunately, Ricky finds out that Jennifer is unpure, I guess, if you want to put it like that.
But I love what he does to Chip, man. The good one.
It is fantastic. Yeah, because like basically, I guess Chip's having some problems with his battery, so he's got one of those. It looks like, it's jumper cables, but it's hooked up to a machine, so you don't need another car to jump it, basically. It's like one of those things.
Yeah, it's like a portable jumper.
Yeah, a portable jumper. So he basically just shoves one of the cables like in his throat. And then just cranks it up, like kind of like Kevin in Home Alone 2 when Marv is grabbing the sack.
That was exactly what I thought. Yeah,
like kind of like that. So he keeps like cranking up.
I was hoping he was going to turn into a skeleton.
I know.
That would have been fantastic. That would have been amazing.
Honestly, don't think they had the budget. So
yeah, probably not.
But yeah, so he ends up just murdering the fuck out of Chip and. Jennifer freaks, so he ends up killing her with the antenna after telling her that, you know, she's naughty.
I know, like, maybe he was expecting a thank you, that's what I was thinking.
That's what I was
thinking,
too.
Like, the car thing earlier, the girl, he's like, oh, I saved you. She thanks him, but she's like, what is wrong with you? You're crazy!
Mm-hmm. Well, she does exactly what, I can't remember her name, but the girl in the first one did. And you know what? Even if you are freaking out and terrified, just say thank you.
Because you can
get the fuck away from him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now you know he's a murderous psycho. No. So, like, don't do anything to piss him off.
Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, the chick who almost got assaulted by Skinny John Madden, she's walking around just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't
just pretend.
Didn't
a
say
bit.
Anything about, you know, following her.
Yeah,
they went in opposite directions. So
yeah, he literally probably was just like, "Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks,
bye."
And that's it.
That's probably how it went.
But yeah, so like I said, Jennifer freaks. She ends up ripping off the antenna and strangles her with it. It's pretty, it's decent. It's all right. Yeah, just taking what's available, I suppose. But all of a sudden, this cop just shows up out of nowhere, though.
I know.
Like, I don't know where the fuck
this happened to be driving by or something.
Was he just parked there the whole fucking time? Where the fuck did this asshole come from? But of course, he shows up and Ricky actually killed two people, so he goes up to arrest him. This is not how you arrest somebody, by the way. Or at least hold somebody up. This is not how you fucking do it. Just walk up and like put the gun right up in their face where you can fucking grab it. Which is what happens because Ricky ends up shooting this cop in the head with his own gun. So now Ricky's got a gun. And I gotta say, dude, this whole scene is fucking fantastic. This is the fucking best.
The highlight of the movie.
The fucking...
I mean, it really is.
Him walking around, the fucking laugh.
The forced laughter.
Oh my God.
Forced laughter, yes. The gunplay, like at one point he's fucking like spinning that shit around like he's fucking Revolver Ocelot. Like it's fucking amazing. Yeah, like easy there. Calm down, Black Bart. All right. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, God, like that one dude who just like runs out of the house screaming. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
Like he had a beer in his hand too.
I think he did.
I couldn't really tell.
Somebody's interrupted beer 30. Yeah. I can't stand for this.
Fucking my afternoon beer, motherfucker.
Go get him, Steve. But yeah, like Ricky just fucking smokes this dude. And I love it too, because after he fucking shoots him, he's just like he's just so pissed. He just turns around, keeps walking. He's just like, motherfucker. Like, that's so fucking funny.
He's so mad.
He's just
this guy
so,
just murdered a cop.
He's just so mad and happy at the same time. It's ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
He definitely just like something short wired in his brain.
Yes. But good God. This next one. The fucking meme.
The meme. Classic.
The classic fucking meme. This is where it comes from. This is where we get it. Fucking garbage day. Because there's some asshole just pulling his cans out, who's apparently deaf, by the way.
Minding his own business, though.
I mean, he is minding his own business.
Ignoring these gunshots.
Apparently, yeah. He's fucking deaf. Because he's literally just taking out the trash. And I love the way this shot is framed. Like we've been talking a lot of shit about the director, but the way the shot is framed is fantastic because you see the guy and as soon as he puts the can down, it brings Ricky into view. And then they just get that fucking line, garbage day. And he just shoots him through the fucking can.
Garbage day.
It's the fucking best.
I think of that so much.
So
I watched this movie like a year and a half ago. I saw this movie before the first one. And half the time when I take my garbage cans out, it's just going through my house.
I know, right?
It's just all week.
People know that. More than they know this movie.
Yeah.
Like, people know that. People know that more than they know the first movie. Like,
they'd see honestly, this and be like, oh, that's what this is from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, if like you actually the showed internet. In the movie, they would be surprised that this is what it was actually from. Yeah.
When I saw this, I go, oh, that's what they referenced.
See, there you go. Now it makes sense.
Have you ever randomly seen any, like, that little clip online or something?
No, I have not. Okay. No, that's one thing I haven't seen.
Oh, boy. Okay, and then we get, like, the little girl on the tricycle. And you think for a second, it's like, dude, is he about to fucking pop this kid? Like, it seems to be a, I don't know, part of the code, I guess, with them, where they don't hurt kids. Kids are innocents. Because Billy never really hurt kids either, except for like, the two bullies, but like the bullies were older and they were dicks. So They need to be punished. But I like how he just like, she just rolls right up on him. Because apparently everybody who lives in this neighborhood is fucking deaf.
I was going to say, well, this girl also must, he might have been sympathizing with her because she's obviously deaf and blind.
Yeah.
Because she's just rolling on the tricycle right through all this carnage.
So Helen Keller rolls up to Ricky and he just kind of pats her on the head and sends her on her way.
Either like, that or this is like the most dangerous neighborhood in the United
they're
States.
They're just used to it.
They're just like yeah. so used like, to it.
Ah, whatever. okay, so after that, what do we get? We get a red car. Red cars coming down the road. He ends up shooting at the red car. And I kind of have a theory. I think I know what the director was going with this. Okay, see now, this whole time, Ricky's been locked up, you know what I mean? And like his whole like aversion to red as well too, like he was like the bull, right? But now he gets to be the bull fighter, and it shows Ricky's freedom because he's shooting at the freaking red car, which is represents the fucking bull. So he's it's this whole scene is about Ricky taking control of his fucking life, right?
Because
he's finally
Kevin.
Fucking free, right?
Okay,
so
yeah,
like,
I can get behind
now,
that.
Instead of the bull, he's the bull fighter.
Okay.
All right. No, I'm saying. I do have another question, though. Why does the car blow up?
Well, and it flips over. He doesn't shoot the driver, right? He doesn't. He shoots like the grill.
Yeah.
The car.
He takes out the radiator.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the car, he loses control, hits something, it flips over.
But then it lands right side up. And I was like, oh, this guy's fine. And then the car blows up.
Just bursts into shame.
Like, okay, sure.
But
yeah.
I don't know if there was some trick, like, with the camera angles or something, but, like, it looked like the car got really close to him when it, like, flipped. Like, really fucking close.
I mean, it might have. I don't know. I don't know how great, you know, the stunt department and stuff was with this movie, so they could have possibly had a close call. But yeah, so after that, this is when the cops have him surrounded, and Jesus Christ, the fucking laugh that he lets out when the first cop tells him to drop his gun. Like, this is like the hardest of like the fake, like, like this fucking like
most over the top.
Most over the top. It's amazing. But, you know, so he ends up, you know, he's going to take the fucking pussy's way out and fucking puts his, you know, starts to put the gun to his head. And you got all these cops like, don't do it. It's not worth it. Fuck it. Let him do it.
I mean, this guy just killed a cop. He's got nothing to look forward to.
Yeah.
And like, all those other people.
You guys were going to kill him after you turned off your fucking body cameras anyway. So let him fucking do it. Who gives a shit? Oh, my God. But, I mean, whatever. Unfortunately, though, he does pull the trigger, but to this movie's credit, they actually had the shot count right.
Oh,
and
really?
So he fired 6 shots, so he was out of ammo because it was a revolver.
Yeah, I didn't go back and look, but I thought, like,
that was like one thing I was like really dialed in on. You know, so I was like, I don't trust this at all to get this right. So I can't wait to make fun of it. But
I was
they
thinking,
got it
like,
right.
That's great.
How many bullets did he shoot? Like right before this scene, because I'm like, he's going to like shoot 20 bullets out of this gun. But when it clicked, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Well, because he shoots the cop. That's number one. And then he shoots the guy who comes running out of the house for some fucking reason. The only guy with a sense of hearing on the entire street. And then garbage day. So that's 3 shots. And then when the car's coming, he shoots the car 3 times.
Yeah.
With the final one hitting the radiator, which fucks it up. So, yeah, they actually got it right.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, surprisingly. Yeah. I wonder, too, like, do you think Ricky knew it was empty and he was just kind of fucking with him a little bit? Or was he really trying to go out like a bitch?
I think he...
I don't know. I honestly, judging by his face, I thought that he thought he was going to kill himself.
Yeah, I could see either way.
I didn't actually... Yeah. I actually didn't even think about the fact that maybe he knew it was empty and tried to do it anyway. I didn't even think about
that. I don't know.
I think when it goes back to the interview, he says something like, oh, I was young and naive or something. Like, he, like at that point, he didn't think about the shot count or something. That's what I took from it.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I could see it both ways. Either way, and this is a fucked up thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is the funniest mass shooting ever. 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Well before there was... It was such a common freaking thing to happen on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're all fucking desensitized to that type of shit. But this is still 1987. This is the funniest mass shooting I've ever seen. Yeah, so we go back to the interview. So now we're in real time again. And I got to say, because I was kind of looking at the time here. And yeah, like there's 15 minutes left in this movie. And we're still in this fucking room.
I know. It seems like the actual movie just started.
Yeah.
Because it was all flashback.
And I mean, it's like more Ricky just fucking being Ricky. And I don't recall really the story with this. But I mean, was the director telling him to do this shit? Like what? Or was this his choice? Like, I don't remember. Like, either way, it's incorrect. Like, but it's just like, just all these like Ricky isms and shit that he's been doing. Like, is this him? Is this the director telling him to do this? What the fuck is going on?
It's just one of the most bizarre.
It's the most unhinged performance I've ever seen. Don't get me wrong. Fucking love it. Fucking love Eric Freeman. And I'm actually glad that he finally came around, like, in recent, you know, like, more recent years. Because there was a while, like, he was unknown, and he was, like, embarrassed as shit by this.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. But then he finally came back, and he's like, you know what? Like, all right, you know. I can be a part of the joke. Like, it's fine. And he started doing, like, conventions and shit like that, so.
Yeah. I thought I read that wasn't up until, like, 2018.
No, yeah, it was very recent.
Where, like, he agreed to do, like, a commentary track on, like, a Blu-ray release or something.
Yeah, and, well, he finally got, you know, got behind being cool. Part of the I joke, mean, so.
Dude, I'd be proud of it.
Yeah,
maybe dude, not at first. But
it's like, dude, know. Don't be fucking embarrassed by this. Like, dude, this is fun.
But
like,
I understand why at first if you would be. I do,
1,000%.
Yeah, but, yeah,
you're
like, oh my god, I'm never gonna act again.
I mean, can't help you there, buddy. But but
according
still,
to his IMDb, he was in a couple things.
He had a couple like, things.
I've never seen him.
Yeah. But yeah, so at this point, we find out that he killed the doc. So this last couple minutes, Ricky's just kind of been talking to himself, I guess, or just talking for the recording.
Yeah, but
didn't the tape? Didn't he use the tape from the recording
did
to
he?
Kill him?
He either used the tape from the active recording or from one of the other reels. Yeah. I don't know, but okay. He was strangled with the recording.
With the recording tape. That's fantastic. I really don't think that stuff would be strong enough to strangle a person with. So.
It looked like cassette tape stuff, and that yeah. Stuff is not strong.
I don't think you can kill a man with that
unless you like. I mean, it would. He just
you would have to like double flat, it up,
or you would have to like twist it.
Oh yeah, yeah, like make a rope go. Out of it. Or something.
Yeah, yeah, like fold
which
it over a bunch of times.
Which he did not do either of those things.
No,
because I saw it.
Oh god. But yeah, so he kills the doctor, and then Ricky just walks out of the room and starts murdering everyone. Hello, and now we're, you know, we got Ricky on the loose. And so they bring in this random nun. Like, I don't, she's not from the fucking first movie. That was Sister Margaret. Like, this is Sister Mary. So they just get some random nun named Sister Mary.
Like, I mean, this is a long time later. Like, she's another
Yeah, I mean, she's another nun, but, like, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, there wasn't, like, a Sister Mary in the first movie. Like, I don't know. They probably couldn't get... They probably wanted Sister Margaret, and she's like, I'm not doing that. Yeah. And just, like,
it's been 3 years. I put that behind me.
Yeah. So they just got, like, another chick. So they got Sister Mary to basically come in and just provide exposition. Like, she comes in and is like, yeah, the orphanage closed. Mother Superior had a stroke. We find that out as well. So it's just, you know, she's just an expo dump. That's all it is. Because they're trying to figure out where Ricky's going. And she's just like, oh, here's things that you don't know that you should know and blah, blah, blah. So.
I mean, we needed that part.
I mean, exposition is important if you're not going to show it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you could have, like, cut out some of the other bullshit and actually showed some of that. But yeah. I mean, whatever, you know, like, I don't know. It's your movie. You do you. I'm like, yeah, I didn't fucking make it. So Ricky's just kind of walking around town, you know, looking for kicks. He ends up killing a Salvation Army Santa and jacks his suit. So he ends up stealing some of the fucking change from like the little like jar thing. Cause you see that like dumped out and everything. So he like stole a quarter to freaking basically go call Mother Superior.
Oh yeah.
Cause yeah, you see it like broken and stuff. And then he's at a payphone and he's calling her up. I do have to say, because when Sister Mary's talking to the cop, she's just like, he wouldn't know where she lived. Did he just look her up in the phone book?
He must have.
Like, he had to have.
Because I think it shows, like, the phone book they used to have chained up in phone booths, like, kind of hanging there, like he was looking through it or something.
I mean, yeah, that's...
He must know her real name.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is it under?
Like, I know.
Yeah, well, that's all I'm saying. He's Supreme. Like, Mother Superior. I'm looking at
her mother. I call her Mother Supreme.
Yeah, I know.
Like she's a taco.
She's not a pizza. Yeah, exactly.
It does make me want some tacos.
It's me not too. A goddamn pizza, all right? God, but yeah, I guess he just looked her up in the phone book. And then, and now, that has your address too. So guess what? Now he knows where she fucking lives. So after the call, we see, we actually get a look at Mother Superior. And fuck, to quote one of our favorites, fictional waitresses, Jesus, what happened to your face?
I knew it. Yeah, seriously. Dude, it said she had a stroke. She didn't say she was a burn victim.
I know, yeah. When you have a stroke, like, the doctor throws acid all over your face.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I don't understand. All right, and I actually have, like, because she looks fucked up, and, like, I don't know. I had 3 jokes with this, and I liked all 3 of them, so I just stuck with all 3 of them. So we'll go through them now. Number 1, she looks like Emperor Palpatine with, like, the hood and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, she does.
So, yeah, number 1, she looks like Emperor Palpatine. Number 2, she looks like Macaulay Culkin at the end of My Girl.
Oh, man.
It's all fucking swollen up and shit. And number 3, she looks like Two-Face if he found Jesus.
It's so true. So,
she looks like if Quasimodo and the Toxic Avenger fucked and had a baby.
There you go. Yes. But seriously, yes, to even get your point, like, why does the director think that if you have a stroke, you turn into Harvey Dent? Like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. Like, he's got, like, the half part, right? He's like, oh, it affects half your body, right? Like,
yeah, but it gets but droopy. It doesn't get...
You don't grow boils and shit. Like, why did they...
Did they do that? Was that the same actress?
That was not. That was a different actress.
I think that's why they did it. But then why did you say a stroke victim say she had burns on her face or something? Or she...
Something like she had a stroke and then she got stung by a bunch of bees. Like, but something.
Or maybe one of the other kids that she was beating threw some acid on her and then, like, she just tells people she had a stroke.
You don't even have to say what they just said. She had a retired due to an injury to her face from one of the kids.
Or even just have to get injury. Into it. Even just say an injury. Like, just an
injury.
Yeah. Because if she had a stroke, I know there's different levels, but like, isn't one side like you can't use it? Like, would she be able to use a wheelchair?
Well, it depends. Because sometimes
it comes back a little bit.
Some are worse than okay.
Some people regain like they. It depends on the deficit. Some people are completely like flaccid on the one side, you know, and other people like regain their strength. And okay. It, you know,
it depends.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are we at here? Oh yeah, her fucked up face. Okay, so I do have a question though. Why'd Ricky Warner? Like, dude, just go
because
there.
It was fun for him.
Yeah, that's probably it.
He's kicked out of it.
Yeah, he likes fucking with shit.
Santa Claus is back in town.
Yeah, I guess. So yeah, we also see that yes, she's in a wheelchair. She actually doesn't seem too concerned about this phone call that she just got though. Yeah. Cause she just starts bitching about a parade like that's on TV, about it being blasphemous and shit. Like, bitch, you have problems. You need to so focus right now.
Parade?
Did you guys see what her address was though?
Yeah.
No way.
Her address is 666. Yes.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Mother Superior living at 666.
I can't believe she even bought a place like that. I know, right? Either that or she was just, I don't know if that's her house or she's...
Yeah, if that was
that's
the
where
only
they put her.
Like place they she could her. Be housed. You know, she had a problem with it.
Yeah. But yeah, so her address is 666. Ricky shows up and starts doing his Jack Torrance impression. It's just, not bad. Yeah, pretty good. Mother Superior ends up getting upstairs and kind of like... barricading herself in
How did
with
she
the
get
door.
Upstairs?
I believe she had a stair chair like we used to have
did
at our house.
Question, I didn't see one, but because I had the same question. I'm like, how is she upstairs in a wheelchair?
I didn't see one either, but like I thought I saw the track. So I'm assuming that she took the chair.
Those things was a part of it, like the banister.
Those things take a minute. Yeah.
Those, I was gonna say, last time I knew, you don't just race up one of those things.
No, thank God. Like, you know. Yeah, like it's kind of slow, but it's still nice. So I miss my stair chair. That is very useful when you were fucking drunk. So, but yeah, so she's got, you know, her upstairs wheelchair and her downstairs wheelchair. But I don't know. The fact that she's even keeping Ricky from entering this room is ridiculous. Like, there's no way she would have the strength to hold the door here.
Oh, I mean, not against him.
Yeah. And I mean, she like drags like a dresser in front of the door, too. And at one point.
Yeah, it's not IKEA furniture either. That thing probably has some weight.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with this chick. But, and at one point, too, like she locks the door and then the movie acts like, you know, who? Like she's good now. Like. Acting like we're stupid and we don't know that Ricky has a fucking axe. Like, because, I mean, it does immediately after, but like the movie reacts like we're supposed to be like, oh, no, she fucking got it. Like, he still has an axe. That was useless.
First
what
of
she
all,
just did.
This whole time, I'm like rooting for Ricky.
I am kind of rooting
Honestly,
for Ricky too.
I'm like, God.
That's sympathizing
that's
with the nun.
That's literally like my next note. Is it's it? Like, am I supposed to be rooting for Mother Superior? Because I'm not. So yeah.
At no not, point was I defend, to... like on her side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, come on. He hasn't killed her yet. Jesus.
Exactly.
Like, please, come on.
He's just, I mean, he's just having too much fun with it. He's just like walking around in his lazy Santa outfit, just cackling away and shit.
I actually was going to be really mad, like, if somehow she got away. Like, oh, and not got away, but like if somebody killed him before, I was going to really hate this movie.
No, yeah. She's evil.
She is
she's
the worst.
She's just as bad as him.
Yeah. She is the fucking worst.
She created him.
Yeah, pretty
yeah,
much.
She created this monster.
Yep. So during the chase, she ends up tumbling down the stairs, which is great. The stunt funny. Actor it's that funny. Is clearly yeah. not her. It is hilarious. No way she's alive after this, though.
And did she fell down with the chair? Because
no,
did
she
just
have
the chair.
She
up?
Fell down off at the chair.
She got two chairs. One
yeah, she's got an
and
upstairs chair and a downstairs chair. Yeah, and basically what it was is Ricky was behind her, went for a swing, and she just kind of tucked and rolled, and he ended up getting his axe stuck in the wheelchair upstairs.
That's right. Yeah.
But like, she's dead. She's dead. Her butt. Did you see this chick? Like, she looks like a scrotum with teeth. Like, it's fucking like. Like, her bones are going to shatter, okay?
Oh, her bones would be dust.
Like, man. They're fucking dust. She's done. But somehow she ends up getting up.
So Deadpool joke. But she ends up getting into her downstairs wheelchair and she rolls into the kitchen to grab a knife. Then she tries a really strange tactic as well, because she just starts talking shit to him about Billy. Like, she just grabs the knife, like, she's going to be able to defend herself, and just goes on the offensive. It's kind of like when Lee Ermey started bitching at Pyle when Pyle was holding the gun on him. And it's like, dude, that's not a good idea. You should shut the fuck up. Like, you should shut the fuck up. And pretty much the same thing happened. I love, though, like, as he's swinging down at her, naughty this, and fucking like as he fucking does it. But also keep in mind that when he did do that, that it was a vertical hit, because that's not going to make sense in a second. Yeah. But the cops finally shows up. I don't know, this one cop's a fucking idiot, because him and Sister Mary barge into the room, and he's pointing his gun. And it's clearly Mother Superior sitting there. And Sister Mary has to be like, that's not him, and put his gun down, so he stops pointing it at her.
Oh, yeah, the 90-year-old nun isn't the guy who's killing
people. I don't think
people.
That's the guy, so... I don't get it, but she's just sitting there, not responding. She seems fine, actually.
She does seem fine.
She seems fine. And Sister Mary tries talking to her, but her head falls off.
Oh, I love that part.
Yep. Yeah. No blood.
Nuns' heads are falling off.
Yeah. No blood, no nothing. Apparently her body doesn't have blood anymore. That's how fucking old she is.
The older you are, you just
lose blood. Like,
oh, I forgot to mention, before Ricky showed up, was she just like fucking sucking down some like rosé or some shit out of that little goblet?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably. She was having some church wine.
Yeah, she got into the church wine. Maybe she was a little nervous.
And getting down on the blood of Christ, so. But yeah, her head falls off. Like, it was a horizontal cut, but we clearly saw Ricky swing up and down.
Yeah, she should have a gaping, like, axe wound in the middle of her head.
Yeah,
in half.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, remember in Night of the Creeps, like, how they got that one dude and his head split open and then all the fucking bugs came out?
Yeah,
it should have looked like
that.
It should have looked like that. But yeah, so... With that being done, this is when Ricky thinks it's an opportune time to just jump up and start yelling. And the cops just smoke him and put him down. Somehow in all the fracas, Sister Mary ended up getting knocked on the floor. I don't really remember how that happened, but whatever. I think like Ricky knocked her down or something like that, maybe. But she basically comes to, opens her eyes, and sees fucking Mother Superior's head right there. Freaks the fuck out, and then we have Ricky's eyes open.
And if that's there's a third one, so help
the fucking movie. There's five.
Oh, no!
Just for the record, there is five, and I think I'm actually going to watch all five of them this year. But yeah, there's five of these.
I can't believe there's five. I can't believe there's a third one after this movie.
Actually, Bill Moseley takes over the fucking role of Ricky in the third one. Yes. Yeah. Horror legend.
That might be worth
Bill
watching.
Bill Moseley.
I guess.
And also, do you know who's in the fourth one?
I heard just that Mickey Rooney's in one of these. I don't know.
That's number five.
Okay.
But number four is they have Clint Howard. Is it number four?
Oh, yeah. I read something about that, too.
Yes. But yeah,
is he Ricky? It goes from Bill Moseley to Clint Howard?
He is a Ricky. I don't think he's the Ricky.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Because basically, okay, like how these end up is the next one follows Ricky. Like, he's, you know, maybe one day we'll get down on that. But it continues with, like, Ricky, like, this character Ricky. Even though, you know, Bill Moseley and fucking Eric Freeman look nothing alike. But then the fourth one is kind of its own thing. Like, it's about, like, kind of like witches. which is kind of weird. Okay. And then number five is the one with fucking Mickey Rooney. And that one's about killer toys, basically. Is Mickey Rooney makes killer toys.
Okay.
His name in that movie is Joe Pedo.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's kind of the theme. He's like a little toy maker, and he's got like a doll.
Wait, basically. I didn't even realize this, but isn't there in theaters right now a remake?
There is. Movie? There like, is. Well, it's a remake of the first one.
The first one. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
I didn't even
know they were making that. The first one that is in the theaters right now. It's actually starring the dude who was Corey in Halloween Ends, which I don't want to hold him responsible for that, but his character should not have been in that fucking movie, and it kind of fucking ruined it. But yeah, it's that dude playing Billy. So, I've heard both. I've heard some people say that it's actually pretty good, and I've heard some people say it's absolutely horrible and don't waste your time. So,
yeah, I heard something that said it was not bad.
I'll wait for streaming. So, but yeah,
that's just weird. Did you want to do another Silent Night, Deadly Night just because we did the first one, or because the movie was coming out?
What you mean, like this one?
The remake, yeah.
I actually didn't correlate this with the remake.
Okay, it's just weird how this stuff like that.
Yeah,
happens.
It is kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, well, we did the first one, and doing the second one should actually be kind of easy. So
yeah,
it's like doing a podcast with a cheat code. So, but yeah, so that is Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2. Amanda, Kyle, what are give me some of your final thoughts on this quote unquote movie?
Yeah. You want to go?
Sure. I don't really know what to think about it. I liked it, but I will say in the middle, I actually got really bored because it was like you're watching the first movie again.
Right.
And I'm just like, well, come on. Are they just going to, is he just going to be in this small little holding cell or whatever and just talk to this doctor about the first movie? Because
it begins to feel that way.
Because, exactly. And until you get to the last, 15, 20 minutes, I'm like, this guy's just talking about the past, man. Like, I'm getting a little bored. And then at the end, it's like, okay, all right. They tried to redeem themselves. But, you could tell it. I'd like to think it was just because they lacked the funds. But, maybe the director. I mean, I really can't think of any other movies that use that much footage from a previous movie.
Like, there are movies that will do like a recap at the very beginning.
Right,
Friday the 13th is notorious for doing that. Like you're going through those, like it's always like, all right, last time on Friday the 13th, here you go.
But I like that, and especially back in the day when you couldn't just easily watch the first one.
It was just the first 3 minutes of the movie.
It makes sense. It's not 40 minutes.
So. Yeah, it's not like going back and forth and pretending like this is a brand new movie.
I mean, there were certainly different, certain parts that I really liked. Like the umbrella scene. I was like, wow, that was interesting. Nice. That was cool. But I don't know. I really liked the first one. Silent Night, Deadly Night.
The first one is fantastic.
But I just don't know that it's worth watching the second one again for me because it's, not much of a movie. I don't want to say it's not much of a movie, but kind of. We were talking about this before, and I don't know if we said this in the podcast. You saw something on the internet that said this movie should, instead of Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, it should have been Silent Night, Deadly Night 1.5.
Yeah.
No.
And I thought that's hilarious. That's totally fair. And I think that I would have actually appreciated that a lot more just because you're calling it exactly what it is. I mean, it's just another half of a movie.
Yeah, I do agree with that. It's almost not fair to call it part two when it half of it is still part one.
This is like 3/5 of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I agree. And it was kind of hard. I don't want to say it wasn't hard to talk about, but it was, as we're conversing, I found it like, I'm like, gosh, it is a little confusing just the way it's just keep on jumping around. It's not confusing in the movie itself, you know, but talking about it. It's
like, trying to keep all that straight.
Yeah.
Back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah. I just don't think a movie, if this movie was made nowadays, I think people would just show over
100%.
It.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Especially when, like, if you want to brush up on, you know, the first one, there's probably like 10 different ways to watch it, you know? So like, you're wasting my time, you know?
100%. I can totally see those points with that. But the new stuff, there's a part of me that I fucking love this. I would say if you were to watch it again, maybe skip past the first, you know, hour.
Yeah,
and then just start from there. Totally agree.
Start from there, you know. If
I'd go maybe,
you if don't
I
like this, a,
I'd start where he kills that guy with the car.
Yeah.
With the rapey guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You just go from there, maybe.
Yeah, just go from there. There you go. Now, if you're feeling really, you know, like, you know, if you got some extra time to kill, maybe from when he was a kid and he gets freaked out by the nuns, started from there, possibly. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, no, I totally get that. Like, it's just,
if you'd recently seen the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Just skip.
Do not watch this as a double feature.
Yeah.
Like, do not do a double feature of
the first and the second. Yeah, that would make me really mad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do Friday 1 and 2, like, all the time, but this is a terrible idea. This is, you watch this one when you want to watch both of them, but you only got time to watch one.
Yeah.
And you'll accomplish both of them.
You can almost get a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah. So if you're looking like that. But yes, so once again, thank you guys for hanging out with us on this one. What do you guys think of this movie? Do you like it? Do you like the last third of it, I suppose?
It's worth watching just for Eric Freeman, I think. I mean, it's not a performance you see. I've never seen anything like that, to be honest, and he's just insane.
This movie is worth watching at least one time.
Yeah.
I agree. And then after that, you could just watch the last half.
Yep, exactly. Just skip forward and be set.
I mean, like I said, I watched this movie a year ago. Or more than a year ago, whenever I watched it with you the first time, and that Garbage Day thing has stuck with me ever since.
Because it's amazing.
It's something worth noting, I suppose.
Yeah. All right. But yeah. So, like I said, let us know down below what you guys think of it. Now, do you like the second half? Is it worth watching at least once, do you think? And I suppose on behalf of Lobotomized, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Woo! Christmas.